This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you.
Hello, everyone. This is Basma Firehead of the People Speak Radio. Here we believe when the people speak, they make a difference. You can listen to the People Speak live on BBS Radio every Tuesday night at 8 to 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, or by going to our site at thepeoplespeakradio.net. There you can also listen live to our shows or our past shows on iPod Ready Archive section. And if you have a Nokia phone, you can also listen to us via satellite. Just go to the website for details. That's thepeoplespeakradio.net. During our interview, you can also phone in and speak to our guest at 877-489-6350. That's toll-free in the U.S. and Canada. It's 888-228-4494. Tonight's guest is someone that I personally requested because he happens to be my senator. Senator Glenn Anderson was elected to the Michigan State Senate in 2006 to represent the people of the 6th Senate District, which I am a proud member of. And that district includes the communities of Garden City, Livonia, Redford Township, and Westland. Senator Anderson serves on the Senate Appropriations Committee and the four related subcommittees of Economic Development, Transportation, Higher Education, and General Government. In addition, Senator Anderson serves his caucus as Assistant Democratic Floor Leader. You know, this is a real pleasure, Senator, to have you with us. It's nice to talk to you again. It's been a little while.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me to join you.
Well, it's my pleasure. You know, Michigan is just such a, I don't even know what to call it anymore, Senator. It's almost like a roller coaster ride in Michigan. With every passing day, it just seems like, you know, we are either way up there or way down there. Yesterday we heard an announcement of the Allen Park new complex for my note is gone and
studio?
I can't think of the, yes, the studio.
Mm-hmm.
The Unity Studio, I think it is what it's called. And I'm thinking to myself that, you know, here this is such wonderful news, and then today we hear that the newspapers are going belly up. 6 of our local papers, which we absolutely love. I want to know, Senator, this is just amazing stuff. Are we now considered the poster child for the economic gloom and doom of the United States?
Well, you know, I guess you know, a lot of people would think that, but I do see a number of positive signs of what's happening in Michigan. And just today, I know there was, while this was terrible news about our local newspapers, because I think many of us have grown to feel a need to have that local connection to the printed media, and I think that we have depended on that, our local communities have, for so many years. And I think part of that is a transition certainly away from printed media versus internet media, and just as we're on right now, internet radio. And I think that I think it's a transition. It's something that's happening in the media market, certainly with the printed media more so right now than anything else. But I think that's a factor, as well as the economic times and the amount of advertising that has declined for those printed media outlets. But I would say today there's something that was very positive. Today there was an announcement of some mega grants that were approved and some stimulus payments that have tax incentives that were approved by the folks in Lansing, the board that makes those available for economic development and a lot of our industries around the state. And there's some very positive news with the new battery systems for some of our future vehicles that we're going to be driving. And one of those facilities, quite a large one, A123 out of Massachusetts, is going to be locating here in Livonia. And there's going to be hundreds of employees hired, with the possibility of having upwards, I believe, of 1,000 employees within a number of years after they get production up and running and the demand is there the demand is there for that product. And so I think that's good news. I mean, but we're in a time right now that we're going to see still some bad news stories and some positive news stories. And I think, but I do have a sense that we're sort of turning the corner, that we have hit bottom, and I do see some good signs. I mean, witness also the transformation or the turnaround in Ford Motor Company stock. It's starting to go back up. It's actually, I think, tripled in price in just the last few weeks. And so I think there are some very positive signs, but again, we're going to continue to see some bad stories and hear some bad things happening, but I think we can feel somewhat cautiously optimistic that we are starting to turn the corner.
Well, you know, first of all, I hope that you're right, and this is what I was talking about. It's been this up and down. You know, we hear about the movie studio, which is fantastic news, which promises over 3,000 jobs. We hear about the contracts for the battery plants. Now, have the battery plants contracts been solidified yet? I mean, I thought even as late as yesterday, there was still some debate as to some other bids, some other states that were bidding for these battery plants.
Well, my understanding is this is a done deal with this facility being built, and my understanding is too that they already have a signed contract to be the supplier of one of the big three of with Chrysler. Of course, Chrysler is still up in the air themselves, but they also, I believe, are pursuing contracts with the other auto companies. And currently, all those batteries are manufactured in Korea. And my understanding is this will be the first facility of its kind in the United States. And it's really good news that it's here in Michigan, and great news that it's here in my district in Livonia.
Absolutely, my district too. Yay, Livonia,
yeah,
rock.
Our district.
You know, the Obama White House has given the auto company 60 days for a credible model of credibility in this area to prove themselves, so to speak, Senator Anderson. What's your take on that? Is that really a fair boundary parameter for him?
I tend to believe that there will be an opportunity to extend that deadline if absolutely necessary. I feel that the president has a strong commitment to the workers of Michigan and across the country that have connections to the auto industry, because I think he realizes full well that the auto industry, just those that work in the auto plants, the assembly plants, is just really the tip of the iceberg of the number of people, the number of jobs, the incomes, the communities that that depend on the dollars that are generated by the sale of automobiles and the manufacture of automobiles in our country. And when you add up all the suppliers and all of the transportation, the dealerships, the people that work at dealerships, it far exceeds the number of people that actually work in the assembly of those vehicles. And I think the president gets it. I think he'll do whatever's necessary to make sure our domestic auto industry survives and makes a comeback. And I think a lot of it right now is likely to be trying to press some of the bond holders of some of the big three to be more reasonable in the positions they're taking as far as repayment of some of the bonding that at least Chrysler and General Motors have, and I think that's part of it right now, is to try to get them to the table to negotiate, so it reduces the situation, the debt that the that GM and Chrysler have right now.
Well, you know, Senator, no matter what we say, it is true that a lot of people are using Michigan as the model for economic events for the rest of the nation. We have a 13% unemployment rate. Over 400,000 jobs have lost. People are calling, especially since Rick Wagner was fired by the Obama administration. They're calling it government motors. Stocks, you know, plummeted tremendously after Rick Wagner, and now they're talking about bankruptcy as the solution to reducing debt. How do we here in Michigan survive the impact of these monumental events that are taking over our lives? I know that as a local owner of Banners Nationwide, and you know the area that I'm talking about.
Sure.
Again, it's an up and down thing. I mean, I know for a fact that that we're the third business to be established just since the beginning of the year, which is a great thing because it shows that people are not afraid to start businesses, not afraid to step out of their fear zone or their comfort zone to go that way. But at the same time, it almost seems like it's an uphill battle because even if we're doing well, others are not doing as well. And how do you handle that? How do we handle that? How do we continue to forge forward in light of all of the devastation that seems to be going around us?
Well, it is a challenge. There's no doubt about it, and there's no doubt about the fact that if General Motors were to declare bankruptcy and were to if just declaring bankruptcy certainly doesn't mean they're going to go out of business, but it is going to change things drastically, and it's going to change things for all of our communities that have connections to General Motors and the whole state of Michigan. It'll certainly impact in a very negative way retirees and others that I think have that had worked for the company, and the restructuring that would take place under a bankruptcy I think mm-hmm. would be something we wouldn't really want to see. And but I do believe that, you know, certainly it's a challenge for us to keep a positive attitude, I think, about what's happening in Michigan. But I just have this sense, and from talking to folks and others, even though many of them have experienced tough times and they've had things happen in their own homes, economically that they're having to deal with, I have gained a sense of optimism that things are starting to get better, and I think we just have to hang on, and I think we have an opportunity sometimes in situations like this. We have an opportunity to make something good out of it, and I think that we have an opportunity to realign our infrastructure, our industry in the state. And I think we're trying to do that. One of the other ways I think is a really bright spot in Michigan's economy right now is something you mentioned earlier. We have a number mm-hmm. of studios that are planned to open here in Michigan. We have more film projects that in the last couple of years than we've had probably in the last 15 or 20 years. And it's growing exponentially it's really having an impact on local economies. A lot of the communities have even taken the step of putting up websites, one-stop shopping, if you want to call it that, for producers and directors and those that would like to consider Michigan and the venues around Michigan to do projects, film projects. And the city of Livonia, in fact, has a site set up for it. City of Westland, a number of other cities. The state of Michigan, of course, has the film office, and we're in the process of trying to create links for all of those local communities that have put up websites so producers can go to the state site and then look at all the other locations around Michigan. Livonia, for instance, they streamlined the process to get approval of if there's a film they wanted to shoot something in a particular location in Livonia. It'll expedite the whole process and basically gives the mayor some authority that previously they would have had to wait for a monthly council meeting to get approval for. And so those are some bright spots, and I think
absolutely, and I think it's wonderful that we're all going, you know, that Michigan is going to be the next Hollywood of the United States. I think that's wonderful. And obviously the tax incentives and the tax breaks were something that that Jennifer Granholm has Governor Granholm has definitely done her homework on. You know, Governor Granholm had some great ideas that she relayed in her last State of the Speech address. One of the things she's working towards is making the marketing of Michigan products to Michigan residents a goal, thereby creating a consumer and manufacturing base right within our own state. So we initially become the producer as well as the consumer, initially. And then after that, thereby creating an economy for the people of the state, thereby creating jobs, and creating a scenario that allows us to in turn sell outside of ourselves. How does that work? Do these things, are they all, do they fall within the stimulus package at all, or any of the tax breaks that fall within the stimulus package?
I'm not aware of any stimulus dollars that are going to that. We are certainly, I think, focusing much stronger on trying to encourage folks in Michigan to spend their dollars in Michigan. And I know a lot of local communities have even taken that a step further and encouraging people to buy even locally. And, you know, it really fits in with the ecological argument that currently, I think, as consumers, we have, over the years, have gotten so used to buying products, that, whether they're out of season or in season. And when we go in and we buy things that are out of season, of course, the you know, a term that seems to be somewhat overused sometimes about the carbon footprint that we're leaving in our on Earth, that we're forcing, because of our buying habits, we're buying products that may be made and are grown in Argentina because they're in season there. They can produce them there and ship them here. But the amount of transportation costs related to get those products here, I think a lot of times there are alternatives that we can have locally that if we explore what's out there, and that's what we're trying to encourage that too, and it has a positive ecological benefit to the state and to our country, in fact. And so we're talking about a sort of a social change here too. And one of the things that I would mention to you also that's in the along the same line is that like I have this coming Friday and next Monday, I have two forums, the same forums and alternative times for business people in Michigan to come to Schoolcraft College for the people that are here locally to help them contract and tell them what they need to do to be able to be a contractor with the state of Michigan. So that's taking that even a step further to get them on board, to give them every opportunity and have folks from the MEDC be here at Schoolcraft College, bringing them to our business people here locally. So we're doing everything we can to move in that direction to improve our own economy by helping ourselves and by pulling ourselves up, our bootstraps up, ourselves up by our own bootstraps, to say, use that term.
Well, that's wonderful. That's certainly, you know, again, one of those wonderful things that are, I mean, honestly, living in Michigan over the last year has just been incredible. Because there's so much on the horizon, so much developing, and yet we are struggling, like many parts of the country, to with some of the pitfalls that have come upon us. And to be quite honest with you, Senator, I don't think a lot of this was the fault of the people in the communities. I think that many of the people are good, hardworking citizens and just had some bad advice. You know, this is something that a lot of people, you know, and you've been hearing what people have been saying in Michigan about that. Is the Obama government being too hard on the auto industry?
Well, I do think that at the federal level, sometimes we have folks that are not as well versed on what's happening. I think with the auto industry, domestic auto industry, because they haven't had that direct connection. But sometimes that may apply to folks that are in different administrations. But I have to say that this administration, compared to the previous administration, there's light years of differences between the two. If you recall, the previous administration wouldn't even sit down and talk to the CEOs of the big three when he was requested to do that back in, I believe it was in 2000, as far back as 2006 or 2007, when we were just starting to see things get really bad for the industry. And in at least this administration, I think, gets understands the problem. I think yes, there's certainly, we in the Midwest and in Michigan in particular, I think, need to continue to do all we can to lobby the administration and to educate, I believe, folks in the administration as to the benefits, yeah, and what this industry has done for the middle class in this country.
Well, absolutely. You know, and one of the things that I think that a lot of people have been agitated about, and I've heard vocalized right in the streets of your own district, that the banks seem to be getting off really easy, and the auto companies are being used as some kind of a scapegoat, that this really hard line that they've taken on the Detroit auto industry, and then, like I said, going easy on the bankers. And a lot of people are looking at that, and they're wondering why that is, considering it would not be to the benefit of this country, to the state of Michigan, to the people, or to the middle class of our country to collapse the automobile industry. That would certainly be one of the worst mistakes that could possibly happen.
You're exactly right, and I know I read just recently a statistic. There was a survey, I believe, across the United States, and I mean, certainly we in the Midwest, and in particular in Michigan and those states that have auto industry or auto manufacturing on a large scale, we understand it better than other parts of the country. But mm-hmm. when you look at some of the numbers that I recently I saw, over 60% of the people in the country do not want to see they don't want to see the government do any more to help the auto industry. And so it just, I think, points out the fact that we need to do a better job of making people understand what's at stake here for our auto companies and our people. And not just here in Michigan, it's not just a parochial issue, it's widespread across the country. I mean, whether it's tire manufacturing in a lot of the states down south, whether it's, whatever the product is that goes into a vehicle, there's manufacturing that takes place all across the country. And I think we need to do a better job. I would like to see in every major city in the country full-page ads to in the newspapers, the ones that still have newspapers, but at least some, even if it's television ads, to explain to people what impact the auto industry has on their state. And I think, I found it somewhat humorous the other day that I saw an article that Senator Corker from Tennessee, who was one of the ones that was giving our big three the hardest time when they appeared in front of the Senate, is now screaming about the possibility that Saturn might close in Tennessee. And it just shows how short-sighted he was. And I agree. Our auto executives and the president of UAW, I think, were just raked over the coals. And the same rule and the same level of scrutiny hasn't not been there for the financial industry.
Well, and exactly. And, you know, there's so much that we can say about that. But one of the things that, obviously, Senator, you know, that in Michigan that we're very angry to a certain extent at the auto industry ourselves, in that was it a miscalculation? Was it the create, you know, to create a market for hybrids and downsizing to fit an oil crisis that had been, I mean, we had to know that we were dealing with finite resources when we were dealing with oil. And I can't believe that this was just a total miscalculation on the part of the auto industry. Why did they not know that we needed to downsize our cars and our industry to prepare for that?
Well, I think, you know, the industry, for the most part, has tried to respond to what they believe consumers want. And I think sometimes we as consumers are somewhat short-sighted. I think we don't see what's coming years down the road. And I think part of that's because we get so much misinformation and so many conflicting reports of what we can expect to happen. And I think sometimes it's sometimes a matter of information overload, sort of. And but I think that the industry has tried to respond, I think, to what they thought the consumer wanted. I think in the case of some of the companies, actually, they really did put a huge emphasis in SUV vehicles and trucks, and because at the time they anticipated that that was going to continue and that was going to be the high demand area for vehicles, and then when we saw the huge spike in the price of fuel. Of course, the bottom fell out of that market, and they were unprepared to switch over to more fuel-efficient vehicles. And they only had a handful of vehicles that were high efficiency vehicles. And I think they're really making some strides now. In particular, Ford Motor Company has changed direction in a major way. And in fact, I think Ford is going to be the leader in the world. And within the next few years of the most efficient, most technologically advanced vehicles in the country and in the world, in fact. And I'm very optimistic about their chances of survival. And I think the other two companies, if they can survive, I think they will also making changes that they're going to have some great products on the market.
Well, I sure hope so. You know, when Rick Wagner's message recently, upon his termination from GM, one of his comments, and I'll quote this, is he's about Fritz Anderson. Is Fritz Anderson is an excellent choice to be the next CEO of GM. Having worked closely with Fritz for many years, we know that he's the ideal person to lead the company through the completion of our restructuring efforts. His knowledge of global industry and the company are exceptional. And he has the intellect, energy, and support among GMers worldwide to succeed. You know, it almost sounds like Rick was alluding towards a more globalized system. Do you think this issue of globalization and expanding and had to do with what happened here in Michigan with the auto industry?
Well, I think it certainly stems. I think it stems from our global trade agreements that we have in place, and we do have. Mm-hmm. And I know we could probably fill up the next half hour of this program talking about those trade agreements, but I believe they have been patently unfair to the American worker and the American companies. That many of these these trade agreements with other countries. While our companies have to foot the bill entirely for their cost of their retirees, their health care, you have many other companies that are domiciled in another nation that country actually picks up the cost of those employees' health care. And in many cases, their retirement is even taken care of. So you have You have many, our countries are working at a huge disadvantage. I believe the last figure that I had heard, it's upwards of $1,000 per vehicle, $800 to $1,000 per vehicle, in additional costs that other countries don't have, their companies do not have to cover. So that puts them at a competitive disadvantage. If you get into environmental issues, other countries have very lax environmental rules and laws that the companies that locate there or that manufacture there don't have to spend the dollars that are necessary to produce here in our country. And I believe we should have required some floor as far as environmental rules in other countries before we just open the door to this wide open competition with no expectation that there was any sense of fairness in the trade. So it's as the old saying goes, free trade is not necessarily fair trade, and I truly believe that we're seeing that. We've seen that for the last 5 or 10 years, that we are getting to that point now that we realize that our manufacturers are at a disadvantage.
Well, I'll tell you, it sure makes the term Buy American impossible if we dishonor and crush the auto industry right within its birthplace. So I absolutely agree with you on that. Unfortunate though it is, I think that the United States, the government of under the Obama administration, I think that our people here in Lansing, I believe that the support of the community knows that we cannot allow the auto companies to go down under this circumstance, because it would certainly not benefit anybody. One of the other issues, you know, when you were talking about the different newspapers that were going under, which really disappointed me, although I had spoken to David Butler at the Detroit Free Press when he first came into that position, and he's with the Gannett group, and, you know, this was not something that was really very surprising to them. As a matter of fact, what he had stated at the time was that many of the newspapers were not going to be gearing towards any kind of international or national voice, but they were going to start dealing with specifically local communities. And I think that's what's happening now. And though I'll tell you, all day long, even at some of the commerce meetings that I was at, the Wayne Commerce was met today at the Historical Museum, and there was a lot of grumbling about it then. You know, a lot of people are very disappointed. You know, who wants to give up the feel of that newspaper in their hands? It's kind of a really, it almost feels like there's this shift that we're going to be experiencing when it comes to the papers, and that's very sad and disappointing for me.
Well, it is, and as you mentioned, I think a lot of people really like the feel of that in their hands, just like publishing of books. You know, we're seeing that more and more electronic versions of books, and books on CD, and books on tape, and not so much tape as it was as moving towards CDs now, but mm-hmm. and DVDs, but I think we're seeing a difference in a change in media, and I think it's inevitable. And just as the global competition, I don't know, once the genie's out of the bottle, I don't know that we can ever put it back in, or maybe should we? But I do believe that when, you know, we renegotiate, if there is an opportunity to renegotiate those trade deals, we can make improvements in them and try to bring the world up, you know, the consumers and the residents of the other countries and their economies, their environment, and try to push for change there, so we're all being brought up rather than one, our nation and our workers being brought down. And I think that, we have to continue to push for those changes to improve everyone's economy.
Well, you know, we're going to take a break right now, and
I want to thank you. We'll be back in just a few minutes with Senator Glenn Anderson of Michigan.
All right.
Are you appalled that our country is spending billions on war while cutting funds for our libraries, hospitals, and schools? Are you heartsick at the suffering of the Iraqi people? Then join me, Medea Benjamin, in signing Code Pink's urgent call for peace in Iraq. Sign on today at www.womensaynotowar.org.
We used to write letters to each other a lot, and it was intimidating to talk to him sometimes because he just seemed so isolated by himself.
She started talking about how she wishes that her life was over and she wishes that she was never born.
So I knew he had depression, but I didn't know it was that far.
Said something to me about killing himself.
Tell somebody, tell an adult, counselor, parent, whatever.
It's a hard situation because you do risk making that person very angry and losing their friendship.
It would have been horrible for me if she never talked to me again, but I'd live with it because I know she'd be alive.
Definitely worth getting help, even if you think you're going to lose a friendship, because it's better to lose the friendship than the actual friend.
Suicide is one of the leading causes of death among teens. For more information, contact the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, 888-333-AFSP, or online at afsp.org.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson from Normal. For 30 years, Normal has provided a voice for the millions of Americans who smoke marijuana responsibly. Thousands of sick and dying patients find marijuana effective as a medicine, including cancer, MS, and AIDS patients. 9 states have legalized its use. To learn how you can help, contact Normal at www.norml.org or call toll-free at 888-67-NORML.
In our Constitution, the Founding Fathers laid a path to an economy that should have kept Americans free and prosperous. How we the people were tricked off that path into a world of debt and deception reads like one of the great mystery novels of all time. American Free Press compares author Ellen Brown's new book, Web of Debt, to an eye-opening thriller that will leave you feeling like Neo in The Matrix. In Web of Debt, the mysterious and often shocking origins of today's ultimate financial crisis are exposed, starting with its distant beginnings to its present disastrous climax as the reader is shown that the way to restore America's true wealth has been with us all along. Please visit Ellen Brown's website, webofdebt.com, to see how America's money and future can become by and for the people once again.
This land is yours.
Join us on The People Speak for an hour of live interviews and audience interaction as guests of various organizations share their work and strategies which impact the world and make a difference. That's The People Speak every Tuesday, 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern on the BBS Radio Network.
This land was made for you and me. This land is your land. This land is my land. From California.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the People Speak Radio. Tonight's guest is Senator Glenn Anderson of Michigan, the 6th District. Hello, Senator Anderson, and thank you again for being with us. It's been a pleasure having you here.
Well, hello, and again, thank you for allowing me to join you.
You know, you were talking about, on the break, some of the Michigan incentives for hiring employees. Do you want to expound upon that?
Yes, we're in the legislature. We've introduced, the House has already introduced that package of bill. We're going to be doing the same thing in the Michigan Senate. And what we're going to do is tie incentives to hiring Michigan workers. And so we hope to, as we were talking in the first half about encouraging people to buy Michigan and Michigan products, we're also going to encourage companies that are by incentives and incentivizing the hiring of Michigan workers. We hope to have a direct impact on the reducing the unemployment in Michigan, because certainly if a Michigan citizen is contributing tax dollars to create an incentive for these companies, then we should also encourage those companies to hire Michigan workers.
Mm-hmm. Well, absolutely, and I know that there are a lot of good people in Michigan that are very eager to put their, you know, spread their wings and do whatever it needs to get this place going again. You know, we've got a lot of very supportive people in the area, and although there seems to be a lot of fear-mongering going on through the media and through the, you know, you listen to the Glenn Becks and all these guys, and the, you know, it's like you just want to pull the blankets right over your head and hide, you know, until it's all over. Even President Obama's speech today, as far as things getting, what do you feel about that when he says things are going to get worse before they get better in 2009? So, you know, you're thinking that perhaps here in Michigan we've bottomed out since we started first. Maybe we're going to be the first to recover from it, or we've reached the bottom first before anybody else?
Well, I think we're either we're at the bottom or we're near the bottom. And I as I mentioned before, I do believe we'll continue to have examples and reports of other constrictions and layoffs and job and maybe some additional closings. But I think for the most part, we're starting to see some balance back in the news about job creation. And as we were talking earlier about the film studios that are being proposed, and there's one that I believe even by the end of this year, they're supposed to be opening their doors and starting some film production work in Allen Park, the one that was just announced today. And I believe it's Unity Studios, I think you mentioned. And they're like, we're starting to see, I believe, more positive news. We're still getting a lot of negative news, but I think one of the things that we all have to realize too, the degree of the negative news and the amount of the volume of negative news that we're hearing, I think has a tendency to self-perpetuate. I mean, if we continue to hear those things, it causes people not to, those that might have a little disposable income, they will hold on to that money, and it will certainly continue to hold our economy down. And I think that we need to say positive things about Michigan as much as we possibly can. And that's not being Pollyannish, I guess, Pollyannish about Michigan, but I think it's important that I think we do look at the positive signs in Michigan, and we bring some balance to the discussion about what's happening with our state's economy, and we're one of the things from the stimulus that we're going to get, the stimulus package, the Michigan is going to get a lot of money that will help with our unemployment. They're extending unemployment benefits, so folks would be a little over a year and a half of unemployment they'd be able to obtain. Excuse me. Also, that the retraining program, No Worker Left Behind, is going to get a large infusion of money. So we're able to train people and getting them into high-demand areas. And I think it also provides an opportunity to provide some training for folks to move into the film business. There are, my understanding from the studio that's going to be opening in Allen Park, they're saying they're going to hire high-wage employees, skilled people. So they are going to be looking for people with the skills to work in that industry. So we're hoping to be able to provide some assistance for folks to be able to get that training.
Which was really nice, because under a pinch we helped out a fellow a printer and did some work for the Allen Park event yesterday. So we're really pleased about that. I actually
Good.
Saw one of our pieces on television, so we were a little bit pleased. We have a couple of questions from our listeners. Richie from Maryland asks, what happened to the plan to wage a war on oil dependency using the auto industry excess tooling and production capability that was bannered about earlier on in the bailout talks. To be exact, transferring production to green technology from auto production. I'm not sure if I understand that question completely. Maybe you've got a better handle on it.
Well, I don't know. Maybe he's talking about exactly what we were talking about earlier, the battery production in electric vehicles. And I can really see a motivation and a move in that direction, that we're looking at more higher efficiency in vehicles. We have, mm-hmm. And I hate to keep talking about just Ford Motor Company, but they do seem to be the ones making the news most recently anyway. And they have now a production vehicle that's for sale, the Ford Fusion, that gets 40 miles to a gallon. And it's the highest mileage vehicle of its size in the country. And I believe it, if I'm not mistaken, they said it in a lot of the comparisons, they compare it, they say it's a better vehicle than the Toyota Prius. And that's always been the standard as far as hybrid vehicles, pretty much has been the Toyota Prius, in the auto market. And, this vehicle exceeds that vehicle in mileage. So I think, these things have pushed the auto companies in that direction. And I think consumers, though, have to continue to, be demanding those type of vehicles in order for companies to see it as being a viable product that they can sell to consumers.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what he meant when he said transferring production to green technology from auto production. And that's exactly what the new battery companies that are going to be opening up here. We have a caller online too, Mike from California. Mike, you have a question for Senator Anderson?
Yes, hello. Hello, Senator. It's good to hear you.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm fine. You know, I'm in the virtual radio auditorium on Fail Talk, and there are people from all over the country, and they're listening. One guy, you know, he said, "Do your job well, you get fired. Don't do your job like AIG, you get punished with a big bonus check." And he is a Michigan resident who worked at one of the major auto industry companies. He's feeling very bitter. What do you say to people like that in your state who respond like that?
Well, I have to say that to a large extent I agree with him that we have seen a completely different standard in dealing with the financial market and those folks that have wasted millions of dollars and billions and really no restrictions on how that money is being used and apparently very little expectation as far as requirements of accounting for the dollars and so those excesses seem to continue and I think I believe the administration is trying to get their arms around this whole thing that was sort of dropped into their lap. And I think Congress is trying to scramble now to figure out what they did wrong. But unfortunately, the auto industry is the auto industry executives in particular were certainly scrutinized, and they continue to be much differently than the financial folks. And I think we as citizens need to demand that our elected representatives in Washington bring some balance to that picture and how they're reacting to our auto industry because our auto industry you stop and think about the amount of investment in this nation that the big three have made there and the fact that the dollars then are plowed back into our economy. They also I think far exceed the other companies from other nations that sell vehicles here in the charitable activities that they have in this country and the money they turn back in to help citizens of our country. And I think that the other companies pale in comparison. So I think we need to continue to have higher expectation of our elected officials in Washington, D.C.
Well, I hope that helped soothe the savage Michiganians that are running around Pal Talk. I have to admit I'm one of them. You know, we have another question from Dennis from Orlando, and his question is, has the senator seen who killed the electric car, and if he has, what is his opinion of it? I believe that's a movie, if I'm not mistaken, and I've heard about it a couple of times from different people. I guess I'm going to have to just bite the bullet and watch it to see what this is about.
I have not seen that, but I will certainly make a point to see it. And in fact, I'm just noticing. I hope no one is offended by it, but I just noticed that on Google, it's the top, when you type in the first 8 letters or so of that title, it's the top number of results. So it's something that Sony Pictures apparently, and I'll have to check it out. So I can't offer an opinion, though, on it.
Yeah, I know that I've heard about this movie a couple of times, and I too, I'm going to have to make a point of watching it. Sounds like something that I definitely would be interested in. We have another, you know, we have another question. This is probably going to take us into another direction. Mike in California, how does Senator Anderson feel the escalation of wars in Afghanistan or other lands will affect the economy of our nation?
Well, I think it's going to continue. The unrest that's in the Middle East right now is going to continue impacting our economy as long as we have the degree of dependency that we have on foreign oil and oil in general. And I think we have to find the alternatives that are out there. And in Michigan, one of the things we hadn't discussed up to this point anyway, is that in Michigan, I think we're poised to be one of the leaders in the country, and I do give our governor a great deal of credit in this area, that we have seen and those of us in the legislature, we've been supportive of moving into wind energy and the production. I think ethanol has sort of lost its glow a little bit because of its impact on food prices. But
yeah.
There's also cellulose production using cellulose of ethanol. There's also other forms of fuel that are being researched now also. But in particular, the wind energy and solar energy. But in Michigan, our environment seems to be most beneficial to the production of wind energy, that we already have companies in Michigan that are making windmills now, and we're going to see a continued growth in that area. We have a number of, I believe there's one already in place, a windmill farm, and we're expecting that there will be another one up in the Thumb area sometime within the next year or two. And so we're moving in Michigan quickly in that direction of alternative energy, and I think we'll be one of the leaders within the next 5 years.
And I know that so many people in the area are doing their best as one of the very few sign companies that is currently using eco-friendly solvent inks. We get, and we introduce that, a lot of people are latching onto that. It's just extremely, extremely in demand these days. So yay, Michigan. Keep going with the green stuff.
That's right. That's right. I'm proud of what Michigan's doing.
I absolutely am. And, you know, for those of you that don't live here, and I've often said this, and I've traveled, and I have family around the country, and I wouldn't live any place but Michigan. I absolutely am an advocate of Michigan in every way, shape, or form. And I know the senator is, and I know many of the people in our government are. I know Governor Jennifer Granholm is. And, you know, we couldn't be prouder of the directions that we're taking. And, yeah, right now it seems like we have to put the Thumb in a wheelchair. And since, as I said, we've become the poster child for the economic bleakness of society and the world today. But we don't feel that bleak here. Just
right.
For everybody's
right.
Information, we are actually doing pretty darn good. Yeah, there's some serious concerns, but we've like looked at them, and we have put our best foot forward, and we're not going to let a lot of fear-mongering get us down. So, you know, that's it from one Michiganian. And, Senator, it's been a pleasure having you on our show. I look forward to seeing you again real soon.
Well, thank you again for inviting me. Thank you.
Well, it was my pleasure. Thank you all very much, ladies and gentlemen. And next week we'll be interviewing Cindy Sheehan. We'll see you next Tuesday. Until then, let the people speak.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the sea by the relief of the summer people, and they stood there hungry and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is yours. This land is my land, from California to the New York Island, Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream water. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.